Basic Bible Doctrine, Chapter 63, The Sabbath That Remains. Scripture, Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Sabbath keeping is not a matter of indifference. It is not one of those areas about which the scriptures give no specific instructions. In fact, the instructions given in the Word of God about Sabbath keeping are very specific and clear. Like circumcision, the Passover, and all other aspects of legal ceremonial worship during the Old Testament, the legal Sabbath day was established by our God to be a sign, picture, and type of grace and salvation in Christ. This is not a matter of speculation and guesswork. This is exactly what God says about the matter in Exodus 31 verse 13. Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Forbidden ordinances. Because Sabbath-keeping was a legal type of our salvation in Christ during the age of carnal ordinances, like the Passover and circumcision, once Christ came and fulfilled the type, the carnal ordinance ceased. In the New Testament, we are strictly and directly forbidden to keep any of those carnal ordinances. In fact, we are plainly told that those who attempt to worship God on the grounds of legal ordinances are yet under the curse of the law. They have not yet learned the gospel. Circumcision is forbidden as an ordinance of divine worship. Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. Those who have their babies sprinkled to bring them into the church and kingdom of God, to seal them into the covenant of grace, attempting to retain the carnal ordinance of circumcision by their act of sprinkling that child, deny the gospel of salvation by grace alone. They deny the necessity of heart circumcision by the Spirit of God. Footnote: I do not suggest that all who practice infant sprinkling, calling it the New Testament equivalent of circumcision, know that their practice implies such a denial of the gospel. But the implication cannot be denied. It is a clear denial of the gospel. It is as clear a denial of the gospel as the Papist's Mass. End of footnote. Passover observance is forbidden since Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. Those who continue to offer up sacrifices to God, either for atonement, or penance, or to gain a higher degree of divine favour, or to prevent his anger by their sacrifices, deny that Christ's death at Calvary was an effectual satisfaction for the sins of his people. If something must be added by me to his blood and his righteousness, then his blood and his righteousness are totally useless. In exactly the same way, those who attempt to sanctify themselves by keeping a carnal Sabbath day that Christ is enough, deny that Christ is enough to give us perfect acceptance with the thrice holy God. As Paul puts it in Colossians 2 verse 23, they make an outward show of spirituality and wisdom, but it is all will worship. Such pretences of humility are nothing but the satisfying of the flesh. Not only that, the whole matter of Sabbath keeping is strictly forbidden by the Holy Spirit in Colossians 2 verses 16 and 17. Since the Lord Jesus Christ has, by his death at Calvary, blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, since he nailed God's broken law to the cross and put away our sins, he alone is our Sabbath. We rest in him. All carnal Sabbath keeping, any form of it, is strictly forbidden on the basis of the fact that in Christ all true believers are totally free from the law. Romans 7 verse 4, Romans 10 verse 4. The Sabbath that remains. Yet the New Testament does speak of a Sabbath keeping that remains for the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 9 to 11. The children of Israel perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. They could not enter into God's typical rest in the land of Canaan. They could not enter into that typical picture of God's salvation because of unbelief. Hebrews 4 verses 1 to 6. Though that unbelieving generation perished in unbelief, the purpose of God was not and could not be hindered. There is an elect multitude who must and shall enter into his rest, Hebrews 4, verse 6. However, that typical rest given by Joshua in the land of Canaan was not the rest purposed and purchased for God's elect. It was only typical of that blessed rest of faith that is ours in Christ, Hebrews 4, verses 7 and 8. It is this remaining Sabbath rest that is discussed in Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 11. Footnote. The word rest, which is used over and over and over in Hebrews 3 and 4, means to repose back, to lay down, to be at peace, to cease from work, to be at home. But the word translated rest in verse 9 is an entirely different word. The word here translated rest means Sabbatism, or a keeping of a Sabbath. End of footnote. The scriptures declare, and declare very plainly, that the Old Testament Sabbath day finds its fulfillment and complete accomplishment in Christ. All true believers, all who trust Christ, keep the Sabbath by faith in him. Christ's rest. First, the Holy Spirit here declares that the Lord Jesus Christ has entered into his rest. And his rest is glorious because he has finished his work. Isaiah 11, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 21. Romans 8, verse 34. Hebrews 10, verses 11 to 14. And his rest is glorious, just as Isaiah 11, 10 declared it would be. Our Saviour's rest in heaven is his glory. In fact, as indicated by the marginal translation of the last sentence of Isaiah 11, verse 10, his rest is his glory. As God the Father rested on the seventh day because his work of creation was finished, so God the Son rested in the seventh day of time and entered into his rest forever because he has finished his work of making all things new for his people. Romans 8, verse 34, Hebrews 10, verses 11 to 14. Read Matthew 28, verse 1. This is a very remarkable verse of Scripture. I wish all who read these lines could read this text in its original language. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. The verse quite literally reads, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the Sabbath." I take the verse to mean this. When the Lord Jesus Christ died at Calvary and rose again, the old Sabbath of the law ended, and the new Sabbath of grace began. I cannot conceive any other interpretation of Matthew's words. Behold our exalted Saviour. Do you see him seated yonder upon his throne in heaven? There he sits in the undisturbed, undisturbable serenity of his absolute sovereignty. His rest is his glory. John chapter 17, verse 2. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Isaiah 45, verses 20 to 25. He has finished his work. John 17, verse 4. John 19, verse 30. He has brought in everlasting righteousness by his obedience and obtained eternal redemption by his blood. Because Christ has finished his work, the salvation of his people is certain. Hebrews 9, verse 12. The works were finished before the foundation of the world in God's purpose. They were finished in time when the God-man took his seat in heaven as our forerunner. Hebrews 6, verse 20. There is no more work to be done. Christ did it all. Since he has finished his work, he sits down in his glory. There he is resting, and his rest is his glory. The sinner's rest. Second, the Holy Spirit declares that every sinner who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ keeps the Sabbath by faith, by entering into his rest. Hebrews 4, verse 3 and verses 9 and 10. For we which have believed do enter into rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. We keep the Sabbath of faith, a spiritual Sabbath, not a carnal one. We rest in Christ, trusting his finished work, by faith entering into his rest. The believer's life is a perpetual keeping of the Sabbath. None of us keeps it perfectly. Our best faith in this world is still unbelief, but we do keep this blessed Sabbath rest sincerely, ever looking to Christ, ever coming to Christ, ever resting in Christ. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Our all-glorious Christ gives rest to every sinner who comes to him in faith. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Horatius Bonar wrote, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, 'Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast.' I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." The Lord Jesus Christ has given and continually gives us rest. He gives the rest of complete pardon, Isaiah 45, verse 22, Ephesians 1, verse 6. The rest of perfect reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Colossians 1, verses 20 and 21. The rest of absolute security, John 10, verses 27 to 30, Philippians 1, verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. The rest of his special providence, Romans 8, verse 28. As the ceremonial Sabbath of the law portrayed a strict, universal consecration to God, so this blessed Sabbath of faith involves the perpetual consecration of ourselves to our God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30. We keep the Sabbath of faith when we willfully, deliberately take the yoke of Christ. If we would keep the Sabbath, it involves much, much more than living in religious austerity one day a week. To keep the Sabbath is to bow to Christ's dominion. To keep the Sabbath is to learn of him what to believe, how to live, what to do, how to honour God. To keep the Sabbath is to bow to his will. How can a troubled, weary, heavy-laden, tempest-tossed sinner obtain this blessed Sabbath rest? I can tell you both from experience and from the Word of God. There is only one way we can enter into his rest. We have to quit working. We have to trust Christ alone for everything. Labour to enter in. Third, we must labour to enter into that great eternal rest of glory with Christ in heaven. Let us labour, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, Hebrews 4, verse 11. There is a great eternal Sabbath to be obtained. There remaineth therefore a rest, a Sabbath, to the people of God, Hebrews 4, verse 9. An eternal remembrance of redemption, an eternal perfect consecration to Christ, an eternal rest. Some have already entered into that rest. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Hebrews 4, verse 10. I have already shown you that this refers to Christ as our covenant surety and mediator. But it also refers to all God's elect. There are many who cannot enter in because of unbelief. They simply cannot give up their own works as grounds of righteousness before God. Those who have entered into their heavenly rest have ceased from their own works. Their days of labour and toil are forever ended. They now serve God night and day, perfectly and without end. But there is no toil or labour involved in their service. Those who have entered into the blessed rest of faith in Christ have also ceased from their own works. They have quit trying to win, keep or improve, standing in God's favour by their own righteousness. Believers simply trust Christ alone for righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Philippians 3, verses 7 to 10. Then there are some who must enter therein. There is an elect multitude of redeemed sinners who yet must enter into this blessed rest. Let us therefore labour, strive, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I cannot think of a better way to expound those words than by taking the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, 7-14, for an inspired commentary on them. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The penalty for not keeping the Sabbath is still death. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3, verse 36. If we would be saved, we must keep and satisfy the whole of God's law. There is only one way we can do that. We keep the law by faith in Christ, only by faith in Christ. Do we then make the law void through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Romans 3, verse 31. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we offer the holy Lord God everything his holy law demands, perfect righteousness and perfect satisfaction. Come to Christ and rest forever. This is the Sabbath that remains.